ගරු එරංගවීර පත්න නියෝජමතිතුමා ඔබතුමාට විනාඩි 8ක කාලයක් ලැබෙනවා.
ස්තුතියි. Honorable Chairman, the new Electricity Act of 2024, while it's a bold move in restructuring CEB, does not go far enough in creating a transparent, competitive and future-proof organizational and institutional structure. Therefore, the proposed amendments by this government are introduced in bringing the critical structural change and digitalized movements needed to ensure the electricity sector can serve our citizens efficiently, attract investments, reduce tariffs, and pave the way for sustainable energy future. The people of this country gave this government a clear mandate to reform broken systems, dismantle inefficiencies and corruption, and deliver affordable and reliable services to all. As articulated in the NPP energy policy, our energy transition by restructuring one monolithic organization such as CEB will increase efficiency and transparency, inviting innovation and putting the people at the center of the energy system. I'll briefly explain a few main proposed structural changes in these amendments. Planning and procurement, dispatching of electricity and its system operations will be done by National System Operator, NSO, which will be 100% owned by the government. A National Transition Network Provider will handle power flow from generating companies to distribution companies, again 100% owned by the government. However, there can be additional players providing transmission service based on national requirement. Multiple generation companies, including renewable energy and independent power producers, IPPs, will compete to provide electricity at lower price. Multiple distribution companies will serve consumers. The existing distribution arm of CEB will be restructured into a separate organization, 100% owned by the government. New distribution companies may come in the future. Introduction of competitive bidding to build power plants and bulk purchase of electricity by NSO is essential in driving down cost and improving service quality. Sri Lanka is not alone in this journey. Many countries who started with a monolithic government organization for electricity from generation to distribution, like CEB, have successfully navigated this path in restructuring. For example, Australia introduced real-time electricity bidding and day-ahead power procurement through its national electricity market. This has led to lower prices and improved reliability. Through Tenaga Nasional Berhad, Malaysia unbundled its operations while retaining government control in transmission. Independent power producers now generate a significant portion of electricity power under competitive framework in that country. India reformed its state-owned electricity boards into separate generation, transmission and distribution entities. Singapore operates electricity sector under the Energy Market Authority, allowing consumers to choose among multiple electricity retailers. The market features real-time wholesale trading, smart grid integration and strict regulatory oversight to ensure competition, reliability and lower system losses. South Africa, for example, currently undergoes unbundling of Eskom into three separate entities for generation, transmission and distribution to overcome chronic inefficiencies and load shedding. And in this restructuring, digitalization is not optional, but it's a foundational to make our electricity sector more efficient, more accountable and more affordable. For example, smart grids will enable automated real-time monitoring, reduce technical losses and allow catering for flexible demands from the customer. Then smart metering empowers consumers to monitor their usage of electricity, shift consumption during peak times, and also supporting for prepaid electricity and eliminating billing errors that is presented in the current way of doing business. AI and data analytics will optimize grid operations, forecast demand, predict failures and support preventive maintenance, thereby reducing operational costs. Digital tendering and procurement platforms for transparent, competitive and auditable procurements is mandatory. And also land management portals will fast-track project approvals and give investors clear real-time access to land availability, reducing delay and risk. At the end, digitalization will empower the citizen, improve investor confidence, and drastically reduce the cost of electricity through operational excellence. Honorable Chairman, one main question asked by the opposition and the public is, will this restructuring reduce tariff? The short answer is yes, but with a realistic and phased approach. So immediate cost reductions will come from introducing competition in power procurement, phasing out costly emergency power purchases, reducing technical and commercial losses, and leveraging digital efficiencies. And next is it comes that the question of whether there will be an issue to the current workforce. So this reform is not dismantling of workforce. It is a transformation of the institutions. Therefore, the proposed amendments only includes 100% government-owned employee fund to secure pension and welfare, then guarantee of employee transition to the new institutions coming under this restructuring, and/or the existing employees can voluntarily go for retirement through the VRS plan to safeguard the current staff and their rights. And also, this restructuring involves training and upskilling of the current CEB employees to take on the future ready roles. Thereafter, the transparent communication and HR restructuring to prevent uncertainty and fear is included in the plan. In conclusion, these amendments present a critical step in unleashing the true potential of Sri Lanka's electricity sector. They reflect our commitment to the people's mandate, our confidence in technology, and our responsibility to future generations. Let us rise above short-term political noise and act in the long-term national interest. Let us make electricity efficient, affordable, transparent, and digital, as it is in any modern economy. I urge this House to pass these amendments not for political credit, but for the benefit of the
people.
I thank you, Honourable Chairman, for giving me the opportunity to speak in this debate. Thank you.